If it is Tuesday, and it is, we will hop on the 7 line down to Morton, into the Fernandez Plaza. We fly into the mayor's office, and there's our great friend, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. It's John Hamilton. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome, welcome. Nice to be with you again, Mike. Happy Tuesday.
Did you get your air conditioning working over there? Is everything
working just fine today?
Thank you. That's the qualifier, right?
Yeah.
Today.
Well, we had a bump or two.
Well, when it gets to be 90 something, everybody always figures out if the HVAC is working. That's you don't get to test it when it's 65 degrees or anything else. You gotta crank it up when it gets hot. So that is
or
part.
Or go very casual.
Well, but
go
yeah,
very casual. That's another option. Right?
You have a lot of windows there, but none of them open. So that's a can't let the breeze.
They're not supposed to open anyway. I don't know. Yeah.
You can't let the breeze blow on through. All right, we're busy. When we last left you on Tuesday, ba-bam, on Wednesday morning last week, hey, here's a note from folks in the city council putting together a proposition of maybe how a CIB will be formed and put together. It's movement. I know it seems like old news now because it was almost a week ago, but we haven't talked to you about it yet. Tell me your thoughts and feelings on what you have seen and have been presented and where we go from here, if you would.
Sure. So we're talking about the convention center and the convention different options to getting it done. I continue to be a big advocate for it. I'm not very optimistic about the particular approaches outlined because they're so cumbersome and have so many different process steps that have to take place. But we'll let it run. We'll see what happens. I will say I kind of do wish at a high level, the county is very busy with criminal justice reform. They're really stuck and need to do a lot. Obviously, the jail needs replacement. We need to do a lot of work on that, and I kind of wish the county would focus on that and let us focus on the convention center, but we'll see where it shakes out, and time will tell.
Now, when the shaking process starts, does that involve you and a red pen? Is that the council, city council's angle? We know there was multiple factions that came up with this from different areas of government. Do you go back with a counter proposal? Is that the city council? How does this work moving forward?
Yeah, we were talking the other day with some people and everybody, I think, accurately said, if this thing gets built well 5 years from now, nobody will care looking back exactly how it happened. And I think that's absolutely true. I think we're in the middle of a lot of sausage making and inside baseball that shouldn't really matter. I think the thing that does matter is making sure that the project, if done, is done well, is done at a high quality, that it's not a kind of a compromised lowest common denominator kind of project. And that's what worries me. But I'm going to, the city council is in charge of the food and beverage tax money that comes in. They have to appropriate it. It's got to be, so that's up to them to spend the money. The Redevelopment Commission owns land that we want to do this on, and the county has the authority to extend or to terminate the tax if they wanted to. The commissioners can create a CIB under state law, but the money has to come from Bloomington City Council. So that's where a lot of the moving parts are. But my main concern is kind of bandwidth and excellence. And bandwidth has to do with who can get this done, and excellence has to do with if we're going to do it, let's, for goodness sake, make sure we're doing an excellent product that will serve the downtown well for many decades. And so I'm going to keep keeping my eye on that, those two issues.
Too many cooks in the kitchen?
Little bit, maybe. If you've got a project that has to have multiple levels of okay and everybody can stop it or delay it if they have a question or want to think about it differently, it can really make a project difficult to accomplish. It's a complicated thing to build a new convention center or expanded convention center. So look at the criminal justice reform and the jail process. It's been years, even since the analysis that said you definitely need to move ahead, and we're still, you've got a lot of cooks in that kitchen, and it's not happening. And my concern is that same kind of sclerosis could affect this project.
Well, the
naysayers has already actually. It has
well, because so. We started this in 2017. Yeah. For those of you scoring at home, or well, the other part of this would be, well, you've got Hopewell and all this other stuff going on. That's your plate's full too.
Well, we are busy, but we're used to this. We build big parks. We build a trade center and the mill. We build, yes, we're doing Hopewell, but we have that bandwidth and the structure to do this. You've got to delegate, but we're used to that. And you can look around at the projects that we've done, whether major construction projects or building projects like we've just described, like I've just talked about. So we know how to do this. I think it's a little different. There are people who don't do this kind of project and are in the middle of trying to do one that's taking years and years and years. So, I'm still a little frustrated. We'll see what happens. But, again, my focus is on making sure we're producing an excellent product that will stand the test of time and that we can be assured it will be done efficiently.
What's the biggest fear moving forward, that it just doesn't get done? Would that be the? I mean, that sounds ridiculous because of all the time and effort that's been put into it, is going to be put into it. But what is that biggest fear, do you think?
Yeah, I think a couple. One is that as whoever gets into it over the next year, two, three, costs are going to gone up. Everything's way more expensive now. I think as people eventually start to put pencil to paper, they may find, whoa, we can't do what we hope to do with the revenue that we have, and that will cause some real difficult conversations. So that could just kill a project. The second big worry I would have would be that the process will be so cumbersome that there will be a real retreat to mediocrity, and that there will be a
hurry up and get it over with kind of feeling.
Get it over, a project that'll be done, but it won't be high quality as much as we want. It won't be the size we need. It will be just kind of, let's just say we did it because it's too embarrassing not to. And that's where I think if a city-led project just gives you more confidence that you'll figure out how to do it. That's what we do. We deal with budget issues. We get big projects done, and we do them with really high quality for the public. Look at Switchyard. That was a $32 million project. There were 1,000 difficult decisions. We had to make compromises. We had to not compromise certain things. We got it done on time, and it's a beautiful park, and that was a very difficult project that our Parks Department with great partners did, but that's the kind of thing that city government is used to doing.
Now, the other part of this that I find terribly interesting will be when it moves forward, who's going to determine whose land we're going to use? What are we going to do with the rest of that land? I know you're going to be long out of office before any of this hits the fan, but is that part of it concerning or not?
It is. From my perspective, all the land that's been bought with the innkeeper's tax, which has been dedicated for years, that's been assembled around that property, all that land needs to be dedicated to whatever entity is running the convention center and or building it, because it's some of it we may be able to sell off for millions of dollars, right, to help support if we don't need that land anymore. Some of it you may want to bank for a while, or you may want to lease it for a while, but all that needs to be done in an integrated, planned way. And I think that's been one of the issues too, because the county has wanted to hold on to land that was bought by innkeeper's tax and not dedicated to the project. And to me, it seems if you're going to do this thing, you got to have all your assets on the table and be able to figure out what you're going to do with them. Right.
The legislature in Indianapolis that wrapped up at the end of what was that, April or whatever it was, is this forcing our hand moving forward? That should help get things moving, right?
They created a deadline for financing that you have to sell bonds by next year, the end of next year, to do a 20-year bond. So they required some annual planning, which is all fine and all good. And we should have bonds issued by next year. We should have had them issued 2 years ago or 4 or 3 years ago. So I'm not against that kind of time pressure. We need to get this resolved. If it doesn't move quickly and well and expeditiously, that could become a bit of a sticking point next year. I'll be watching from reading the headlines, I guess.
When you're my co-host, when you come on every Tuesday in retirement or whatever it is you're up to next. The voice you hear is Mayor John Hamilton. He is in his final months in office. He is the mayor of the city of Bloomington and joins me every Tuesday to get you caught up on all the headlines that are making news. And one I don't want to get too far away from because we're going to blink and it's going to be 4th of July. How did we do on our 2022, the annual year-end update of city goals?
Oh, thank you for asking. That's a lovely document of 550-plus city goals. And
all right, just start alphabetically and we'll work from there.
There you go. Let's keep going. So this is something every year, part of the budget, as we've talked about a little bit, each department sets out what they're going to do with their money and their people and their time and their energy and set specific goals. It's really important. 15 different departments do that. And we want to report on that. We do it mid-year. We do it at the end of the year. In 2022, about 77% of the goals were accomplished or substantially accomplished. About 20% were not met, and about 3 or 4% were delayed due to COVID. And I'm okay with that. A perfect score would mean we're not setting our goals high enough. And what you can see, if you're interested in the Parks Department or Public Works or Fire Department or anybody, you can go check out what were their goals, how they do. It's online. It's a very transparent, detailed document that lets you see all the things, almost all the things going on in city government. We don't capture everything, but I'm really proud of the cabinet members. They work very hard. All their 850 colleagues work really hard, and it's a kind of a big report card.
Do you hope this continues after? Is this a legacy you'd like to leave behind?
Well, I do hope that the public will continue to get information about what were the goals, what's the budget, that the council will ask to see, you know, these kind of details. Different people may have a different take, but somebody once said to me, a politician should never put a date and a name, a date and a number in the same sentence. You should never make a promise, but that's just not right. We as the public trust, we have to say, here's what we're going to do next year, and tell people whether we did it or not. So I do believe in it. It's a really important principle, and I hope that the council and the mayor to come will keep sharing this information in some form or another.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. It is a busy time, even though it's summertime here in Bloomington. You have tons of things going on. Does the city have anything to do with Grand Falloon? I know that's a big deal this week. You've got a huge concert series that starts next week. We've got all kinds of the Limestone Comedy Festival was here last weekend. You've got free music every Thursday going on. There's just a ton of stuff happening.
Juneteenth coming too, and in a couple of weeks. We get involved with all of that, of course, and a lot of it uses public space, and we love working with Grand Falloon. That's been a wonderful partnership, and closing down a block or two of Kirkwood for an outdoor concert Saturday night, that should be a blast. And it's that thing's picked up steam. You know, this is an example of events. Some of they kind of ebb and flow, you know. They get really popular and then not so popular sometimes, but this one's really fun, attracting more and more people. And as you mentioned, we've got a lot going on. Three big new concerts in Switchyard Park coming this summer. You know, golf tournaments, tennis tournaments, Shakespeare in the Park, all kinds of stuff. Movies, a lot to do.
Always fun stuff to do, and there's the other great part about this is we will slowly forget about the great celebration that was the Taste of Bloomington. We're just evolving into different things with, obviously, Grand Falloon and the Switchyard Summer Concert Series. We've got farmers markets on Tuesday and on Saturday, so every Tuesday in June, Switchyard Park will have something going on. Every Friday is Food Truck Friday, so thousands and thousands of things to do and enjoy that. But government still moves on. We still have to keep things running. The council, we know in the summertime, doesn't do a ton of heavy lifting, but you have asked them to call on a resolution supporting driver cards for undocumented Indiana residents. Tell me about this program. You will ask for this tomorrow night at their meeting. What it involves, and I'll let you explain.
We're working with a group called La Voz Unida, which is really in a really excellent bipartisan way, working with cities around the state, and this is a national issue for undocumented people, families, adults, it can be a real difficulty to work, get a job, survive. Your kids may be going to school. You got to get to health care. You got to, you know, we have a lot of immigration issues to solve, but we have millions and millions of people living here and working and doing things, but they're not able to get a driver's license. And that's the problem this is trying to solve. It's not trying to solve all the immigration issues or who qualifies for what benefits. It doesn't change any of those things or voting and all that. But it just says this gives you a way to get a legal driving card, make sure you've passed a test, can get insurance, you can be certified as a driver and have a record so that everybody's safer. So I'm confident and hopeful that the city council will pass it. And hopeful ultimately that Indiana will adopt and embrace this kind of driving privilege card program just to make things more standardized, I guess, you know.
This wouldn't be a legally binding agreement, correct?
It doesn't. What it does, if the state would okay it, is it would let people, it would no longer be illegal to drive as an undocumented person if you have this card. It still would be illegal to drive if you don't have it, but it would also mean you can get car insurance and you can take a driver's test. We make sure you're trained and that kind of stuff. But it does not create any other rights besides the ability to drive a vehicle.
Now, for someone that just hears hot button topic headlines and things of the such, why can't they get a driver's license? Why do they need a driver's card? How did we go through that process?
Yeah.
We have so much fear of illegal immigration, and why are they here? Why don't they get documented? Why don't they get a driver's license? Explain that to the folks, please.
Sure, and I'm not an expert on immigration issues, but I think all of us would like to see the immigration system improved, so that everybody goes through a rational and a workable system of access to our country. And there's a lot of people working hard on that. But the fact on the ground is we have, you know, millions and millions of people in the country and many, many thousands in Indiana who are here and who are working, whose kids are going to school, who are living among us, they're buying groceries, they're paying taxes, and they can't get a driver's license because they're not a legal resident. And because they can't get a driver's license, many of them still have to drive in order to function, and so they drive illegally. That means they can't get insurance for their cars. It means they're always, if they're worried if they get stopped and arrested, they can then be subject to deportation because of a criminal violation. They could be, and it creates a huge amount of uncertainty for people who are already here, who nobody actually thinks should be deported, or very few. They may have been here for many years. So this is just trying to solve this problem of not wanting to have undocumented people driving cars and without having training, insurance, and that kind of certification.
Mayor John Hamilton checks in with us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And, last month, on the last day of the month, Bloomington was named a gold-level bicycle-friendly community. Well, it's not the first time that's happened. I know that you and your staff and your administration have worked very hard to keep this certification up.
Well, our community does. You know, people love to bike. We're really pleased. This is the third time through. I think I saw there's only 40 or 50 of communities at gold level or higher in the country. So we're in elite group, and it reflects, you know, our investment in bicycle infrastructure. It reflects our investment in support for the bicycling that goes on in the community, our bicycle clubs, our bicycle commissions, and those kinds of things. I'd like to see Bloomington, you know, march our way up to platinum. I think we're on our way there. We're not there yet. That's a really hard level to get, but they keep changing the level, it reflects the fact that people love to bicycle here, and we put the trails and infrastructure out, and people use them.
And there's plenty of room for it, and then with the kids gone for the summer. And I saw a story that it did sound like the student population is really shrinking in the summer, but that gives you even more reason to get out and enjoy it, because, well, less is more for some.
Those numbers are, you know, the world is just changing. I was just with a bunch of people, and we were talking about downtowns, which we don't face as much, but man, you know, the office markets in major cities in America are just, they're really on their knees, changed so dramatically. So we're still figuring out what post-pandemic economies are like and living patterns and transportation patterns, all that stuff.
And another one that's, well, I don't know if it's part of it or not, but here we are talking about Catalent again. More job cuts. This is a new story. Catalent,
yeah,
has the question and the headline is, will they be, it says, unlikely to receive city tax abatement. Well, that doesn't help them, but they're required to provide X amount of jobs, correct? Let me make sure, I'll let you explain how this works.
Let's put this in context. Catalent came about 5 years ago and bought Cook Pharmica, which was a spin out of Cook, and they bought it for about $1 billion, and there were about 750 employees. Catalent today has after all the announcements, have about 2,700 employees. So they've grown their operation dramatically. What we've seen in the last few months is a reduction of a huge expansion they did during the pandemic to produce vaccines. As we know, they packaged and formulated vaccines here for COVID, and that demand has shrunk. And they're kind of, I guess, right-sizing or rationalizing after a crazy, all-hands-on-deck expansion. They're settling back at about 2,600-2,700, which is a wonderful expansion from where they were a few years ago. They will, their commitment to put $350 million of more equipment in and expanding up to 8 service lines and all is big and continuing. If they don't do the full 1,000 net employee growth that they had promised, they won't get the property tax abatement, but they're still going to be a terrific member of the community. And we'll see. The jury's out on that. But that's why those abatements are structured that way. And they actually could apply for partial, but I understand they're not going to apply for that this year, and we'll wait and see, which I appreciate that. But, you know, overall, that company has been growing a lot, and they've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in high-tech equipment and high-paying jobs, and we hope they'll continue to innovate and thrive and join the kind of the Baxters and the Cooks and the Boston Scientific here with a great constellation of health companies.
So again, the headline says one thing, and it's not inaccurate. You just kind of have to get into the fine print of the details of how this works. So that's why we love having you on to get the rest of the story. Who was that? Paul Harvey.
Yeah, there we go. Well, and look, you know, it's difficult, of course, for 150 people who they may be doing some of this by attrition and other mechanisms, but that churning, Cook had a small reduction a while back and different places go up and down, and that's very difficult for those who are involved, and we do all we can to help. But I think in the big picture, recognizing how important and valuable this fourth major company in the biosciences, life sciences, and their significant expansion is a really good sign for Bloomington as a whole, again, with Cook and Boston Scientific and Baxter and Catalent together.
Excellent job as always, my friend. Enjoy these final days of spring. We'll get caught up with you down the road as we always do. And, 100 things are going on, and I'm not exaggerating. Go to bloomington.in.gov, and you can search all of the great things and events and fun things that are going on, including the Farmers Market Tuesdays. I keep forgetting about the Tuesday market, so I want to make sure we get that in on Tuesdays, and then obviously the Farmers Market on Saturdays and all the other great things happening.
Cool. Pools and splash pads keep going. They're good these days, right?
Let's
That's
keep
all
it
good.
Going.
People enjoying that. Keep Mike, it. Thank you.
I'll keep it out of the 90s. I'll try. Good talking to you, my friend. Thanks.
Everybody have a good week. Take care. Thanks.